Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Laughing Place podcast. We're recording this on July 1st, and I'll probably be up for the holiday weekend, so happy Independence Day. Hope you are staying safe.
It's already a holiday. It's Canada Day.
Yeah, Disney Plus sent a list of like things to do for Canada Day, but I was like, it's today, and you sent it at like noon.
And also, their list of movies did not include the most obvious choice, Brother Bear.
Did it have Winnie the Pooh?
I don't think they included Winnie the Pooh either. They included Zootopia because there's a moose as a newscaster. Like, it was a real stretch of a list. They included Togo, but Togo primarily is Alaska. And like, it was odd. But Brother Bear legitimately takes place in Canada, and there's the two moose who are the, what's its name? Rick Moranis and the other
Dave
guy
Thomas.
From Strange Brew. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just full of Canadian-isms. And I don't understand why Brother Bear wasn't on their list. I will say, if you go to the Disney Plus watch guide on laughingplace.com for this week that we're currently in, that ends July 2nd, for Every Day is a Holiday, Canada Day, I picked Brother Bear.
You want to know something weird Disney Plus also did today?
Yes.
They tweeted out a video talking about, like, spend summer nights with us, and I went week by week of like all the movies coming out each week. And so I'm watching it, and I noticed two things. One, the one and only Ivan is not listed, but on August 28th, they say Phineas and Ferb, the movie Candace Against the Universe. And so I put it in the news desk queue, a little inside baseball there. And then by the time someone gets to it, which was not long, like seconds, the tweet was gone. So I don't know what's going on. And then I emailed them asking, and they have not responded, which is usually their way of saying, we don't have an answer.
I think that video got out early.
So anyway, thanks for joining us. We took a little bit of a break because things got busy, which is weird because nothing's happening. But our nights are pretty full. So I'm joined today by Alex.
Hello.
And Kyle.
Hello.
Who's listed in our little broadcasting as Alexander Hamilton.
It asked what my name was.
And so, because that's coincidentally what we pay Kyle for years, $10. So we're going to kind of go park by park and kind of see what's going on. So Shanghai has continued opening, like a few more experiences, like the Pirates of the Caribbean shows open, the Frozen sing-alongs open. Hong Kong Disneyland opened since we last talked. Does anyone have much to say about that, except Hong Kong's kind of a crazy place to be right now?
Hong Kong's a very crazy place to be right now.
That's a different show.
Yeah, now there are two Disney parks I might never get to go back to.
They have announced that Disneyland Paris is going to open July 15th. Disney World is set to open July 11th. For Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, and July 15th for Epcot and Animal Kingdom. So we'll focus on that for a little bit. They started the Park Pass system, where you basically have to get a reservation for a park, kind of like a Fast Pass, except there's different levels of reservations. So if you have a resort reservation, you have sort of a high priority. If you have just a ticket, you get a different level of priority. Annual Pass is a different calendar too. There's also a cast member calendar for their admission, which is just completely blocked out at this point. But you go in there and you book it. It's very similar to booking a Fast Pass, except it's all day. I went in. I didn't have any issues, but how do you think it went?
I didn't personally experience it. You did it on my behalf, fanboy. But I've noticed a lot of like random tweets in my news feed of people complaining about, I think more so the policy, as an annual pass holder, you can't hold more than 3 dates and there's 4 parks. And so I think a lot of local pass holders are feeling put out by it. Since we're not local, we sometimes go and don't stay in a Disney resort. So that's where it would get challenging is, you know, going to Central Florida, not staying at a Disney resort, but not being able to guarantee on our annual pass that we'll be able to go for more than 3 days. At the same time, we have a reservation at a Disney resort coming up, and then you're able to get on your annual pass all of the dates of your stay. But yeah, I mean, I can see the criticisms of the system. What I'm curious to see long term is just how much availability there continues to be. I know they made an announcement that later this summer they're going to resume selling like single tickets to the parks for the remainder of 2020. They made that announcement when they opened up the sale of tickets for 2021.
You know, one thing that I think is we could look at Shanghai and see is that they're going to start really small, and then they'll add in more capacity. They'll add in more operations as they get, as they work through it and see what's working, what's not working. So, you know, I don't, obviously Disney's not trying to create a system to limit attendance, you know, for all eternity. This is a temporary system. So they're really just trying to accommodate guests who are, I mean, at this point, probably local or already had existing reservations. It's not really a, you know, they're still not even selling tickets for 2020 yet. So we don't know what availability will look like. And, you know, obviously they're not advertising. They're not doing a lot of things to increase demand. So right now, I think they're just trying to get something to get them through the day until, the, you know, this virus is under control.
So one of the questions I have about that is they made a, there's a disclaimer in the verbiage about like once a day fills up, they will not be releasing new for all intents and purposes inventory for those days. Like those days won't come back online as a day you can select. And I feel like how can they make that finite of a statement around this when they're still trying to test the waters, what is the right number for capacity in these current uncertain times?
See, I think I took it as at this point, they're not adding capacity. But I can't imagine that if, you know, there's a vaccine, we are done with social distancing, that they're not going to say, hey, you know, open it up. Or, you know, if they're able to accommodate more guests after they open and maybe not, you know, and they see sort of what's booked out, they could always go back in and add capacity, I think. And also, you know, short term, yeah, the first couple weeks of July and August, you know, maybe they won't, don't add capacity. It's already booked out. People don't want to have get upset. But those days that aren't booked out yet, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, as you get closer and things might book up, they add capacity. You might not notice it, they start letting more people make reservations.
And you've been monitoring, I think, it pretty closely. What's been the like hardest to get days or even parks? And are there any days where like all four parks are completely filled up in terms of capacity?
Well, I think you know, the most desirable or I guess limited or whatever in demand based on capacity is has been Hollywood Studios. And it's probably because right now you know, they're not doing any live shows because of a union dispute. So you know, that capacity is limited to begin with. There are days that are booked up, but last I checked, and I can briefly pull up the calendar here, you know, it was still pretty short term. So like, if you look at, let's say July 15th, which is the first day that is, all the parks are open, Hollywood Studios is booked up for everybody. For annual pass holders, everything's booked up. And for general theme park guests, they can go to all parks. So this is a weird situation where resort guests can't make a reservation, yet theme park ticket guests can. So
why would that be?
Probably, I mean, I hate to say it, but probably poor management. There's probably three different buckets. Like, they're not, you know, they're not moving inventory over. Because if I look at annual pass holders, July 28th, 29th, and 30th still has Epcot availability. And then if you move into August, weekdays towards the end of the month still have availability, but weekends look pretty bad, pretty booked up. And, you know, mainly Epcot is available towards the end of the month. So it seems like Epcot is the easiest to get. Hollywood Studios is the hardest to get. Probably not based on demand. That's probably just based on the designs of the parks, with Epcot having tons of open space and Hollywood Studios not so much.
I would also say Hollywood Studios has the two newest things to do, you know, and they opened Runaway Railway very shortly before Disney World shut down. So there's a lot of people who probably still haven't gotten to experience Runaway Railway, even just in terms of local annual pass holders, on top of the difficulty before the parks closed of getting a boarding pass for Rise of the Resistance. And now Rise of the Resistance is just queue up. You know, if you can get into the park, you can get into Rise of the Resistance.
That'll be interesting, right? Because they're not doing virtual queues at start. So they basically have to be able to fit in everybody into the physical queue of Rise of Resistance with social distancing in mind. So you're right. That's probably a major limiting factor.
Yeah. And that physical queue for Rise of the Resistance is massive, even including all the outdoor space. And then Tokyo Disneyland just reopened. And last night I was monitoring that, and it was interesting to see how much of an extended queue they had ready to go for things like the Jungle Cruise, with that spacing in mind. You know, so it was interesting. They had all this rope and stanchion set up that you could walk around to just get in the attraction when it's not needed. But at a certain point, it would presumably be necessary for the queues.
And I do want to mention the situation in Florida right now, where cases are rising, but they're really pushing back on rolling back anticipated openings, which is a little bit different than California that we'll talk about. But as far as statewide, bars have closed when they were open, but none of the sort of businesses that are either had opened or set to open have rolled back. You know, I'm not going to get into good idea, bad idea, because that's above my pay grade, but that's the situation. If you compare that to California, where everything's been put on pause, Disney has not gotten approval to open the parks on July 17th. Therefore, they have pushed back the opening of the two theme parks plus the two hotels they were going to open. As of right now, on July 9th, Downtown Disney will open. However, the governor has just announced that indoor dining and
movie theaters,
things like movie theaters, will not are no longer allowed to be open in the state. Now, that doesn't necessarily apply to Downtown Disney outside of restaurants. Like, you know, retailer doesn't seem to be an impact. Downtown Disney no longer has a movie theater. And even if it did, it probably wouldn't have been open. But California is putting a pause and also taking a step back. Also not sure if good idea, bad idea, really not, you know, for me to say. But that is the situation at this time. So we do not know when the Disney Resort, for all intents and purposes, will be reopening. So it means it will be closed for the 65th anniversary, and could be a while. Kyle, you got anything to share?
Not about Disney World, but actually when Alex was talking about how people are upset because they have annual passes and can only hold three reservations at a time, I just want to share that currently I have an annual pass for a park where I'm not allowed in the country. So that sucks a little worse.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So Disney Cruise Line and Adventures by Disney essentially are suspended through September 15th. Aulani, we don't know when it's going to reopen. I started booking things just to kind of see what the messaging is for when they have to cancel and postpone, just so we can report on it. Because, you know, a lot of times they'll send out a letter to someone who has a reservation before they send a letter, you know, let us know. So I have bookings basically everywhere, but we are still kind of waiting for the everything to get back, which is, you know, it's sad as a nation. It, you know, I mean, obviously the Disney theme parks are not, you know, the most essential business as much as we love them. But, you know, it's sad that we're not ready to get back to relative normal. Even, you know, we have to do things like wear masks and be socially distant and continually wash our hands and all that. We're going to move on to we kind of addressed what's going on at the parks. But I think next we'll talk about what's going on in the movies. And namely, Mulan got pushed back again. So I'm actually going to toss it over to Kyle, who's been on our watch list. We kind of knew this was coming. So he was waiting patiently for Mulan to get pushed back. So I guess this thing catches you by surprise, Kyle?
No, definitely not. Especially after they moved. Is it Tenet? Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah.
The Nolan one?
Yes.
Yeah, they've been playing leapfrog of who's going to be the first to open. And so once they pushed that back to August, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Warner Brothers, whoever's putting that out, has been like, no, we're opening it no matter what. And then they keep not opening it no matter what. So yeah, once that happened, we're like, okay, well, we can pre-write Mulan getting pushed back because that's going to happen. I mean, I don't even know if it'll make August at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, you know, it's like my view gets longer and longer as we get further into it. You know, it's hard to imagine. It's already been 4 months since we really started to see an impact. But, you know, we don't know when movie theaters are going to open.
The whole thing is it's kind of chicken or egg because the movie theaters don't want to open without blockbusters, but blockbusters don't want to open without movie theaters. So
yeah, but you know, you have a situation where two big markets, LA and New York, they can't open. So, you know, until those really happen, and something like Mulan, where China is a big, you know, part of what they expect to generate box office, they're still not open there. So despite the fact that Shanghai Disneyland's open, you still can't go see a movie. I mean, I guess you could go see PhilharMagic or something, but, you know, it's, you know, blockbusters don't want to come out and not, I think they made peace with the fact it's not going to make the same amount of money as it would have, you know, a year ago, but they want to make sure they're not doing it just, you know, to do it. Because, you know, and this kind of preceded, or I should say anteceded, some other, like, moves where, you know, we talked, it seems like every couple of weeks we get a revised schedule from Disney. So, you know, technically the next Disney film is The Empty Man, which is slotted for August 7th. Then Searchlight has The Personal History of David Copperfield on August 14th. And then New Mutants is August 28th, followed by The King's Man on September 18th. So they also moved The One and Only Ivan from theatrical to Disney Plus. So, I mean, I don't, even if Mulan opens August 28th, there's no way New Mutants is opening August 28th. Even if Mulan opens August 21st, there's no way New Mutants is opening August 28th, right?
I don't know. It's like the old days where Disney used to release more than half a dozen movies in a year.
Yeah, I mean, basically, as it stands, every weekend in August, Disney's releasing a movie. Do you have a favorite? Between The Empty Man, The Personal History of David Copperfield, Mulan, and The New Mutants, which one are you most looking forward to, Kyle?
Is none a choice? I guess it'd have to be Mulan by default. Have they released a trailer for anything for The Empty Man? I haven't seen anything for it. I don't even know if we have a real poster on our site.
We do not have a real poster, and there's not been a trailer.
Okay, well,
yeah. There's no way that's coming.
Alex?
Well, I've already seen it, but I think even if I hadn't seen it, Mulan would be my number one of that short list.
Alex and I had the realization that we've seen Mulan. The time between us seeing Mulan and the time Mulan will come out will be longer than like a typical home video wait.
Yeah. yeah, the typical like movie gets released and movie gets released on Blu-ray is like 3 months, and we saw Mulan in February or March?
March 11th,
and yeah, it's July. It would have been on video by now.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into the part where it's like it would have been on Disney Plus
by now. Yeah, we're reaching the 6 month Disney Plus window.
I think that's why they kind of are hurrying to put in like extra movies on Disney Plus. Like they're releasing the X-Men films and like the entire Diary of a Wimpy Kid saga, Greatest Showman, because like they don't have a lot of like original movies in the can for Disney Plus, and there's only so many series that they have in the can. So I think they're kind of running out of things to do, and they want to build off the Hamilton bump.
Yeah. At the same time though, I kind of feel like, you know, anything that's a library title should be on there anyway. Like I get that there's some deals with other TV providers that lock up a couple titles in select territories. But, you know, for the most part, like some of the things that aren't on Disney Plus still are a little mind boggling. And what they're adding is, what they've announced they're adding is a lot of things that came with the 21st Century Fox acquisition. But the number of like Disney titles that are just flat out not on Disney Plus, not even with a placeholder, is kind of crazy.
Well, I think they also, there's sort of been a change. Like some of these movies, I think if they were coming to Disney Plus a month ago, like they just would be on our list of things coming to Disney Plus. But now I think they're trying to turn it into something because they don't have anything else. Like they put up the Josh Trank Fantastic Four film, but then you know the sort of Michael Chiklis Fantastic Four film is like, wow, it's coming to Disney Plus, and you know neither of those were particularly good.
No, but one was better than the other.
Yeah, we got that right.
And one thing we didn't mention is that Disney Plus doesn't have free trials anymore.
Yeah, that's a really recent development. Are they the only streaming service that's not offering a free trial right now?
I don't think ESPN Plus does.
Okay.
But other than that, I can't think of any. And some of them, they're varying lengths, usually between like a week and I think Quibi's is 3 months, which is the longest to my knowledge.
Is Quibi going to last 3 months?
We'll see. I mean, they have. So at the presentation, I actually went to their presentation at CES back in January before the world ended. And they were talking about how they have their first year of ads were already sold. So that's where a lot of their startup money was coming from. And now because it's done so poorly, a lot of those advertisers are trying to get some of their money back.
That's wow. Funny. Yeah, I'm that guy. I don't sign up for anything with a free trial usually, like unless I know I want it, because I'm that guy who just forgets to like say I don't want it before the free trial's over if I'm not using it.
Well, for me, like, you know, I presume everyone here was a Founder Circle member where we pre-bought Disney Plus. And so like the thought of even like I haven't thought about the sign up process or the deals or anything about it since it started. Like I just a part of existence for me.
We still got that free week though. Like our renewal date is not November 12th, 3 years from 2019. It's November 20 something.
Yeah. And if you have Verizon, 15. You can still get the free year. And then it's like you paid for 3 years at like at a discount, but then you get 4 years for that price. So that was a good deal back in the day. Because there's rumors now that ESPN Plus, not that it's the same thing, is actually going to raise its price, which is kind of funny because there's no sports right now. But
yeah, that seems like a bad deal. I mean, YouTube TV just raised their price pretty substantially. And at least on Twitter, which I know isn't representative of like all the population of YouTube TV subscribers, but people were pretty angry about the $20 price hike and basically telling YouTube TV they're taking their business to Hulu Live TV.
So one thing that we know is coming to Disney Plus is the Hamill film, or is it, you know, the filmed version of the Hamilton musical, coming July 3rd. And Alex has seen it. So what say you?
I say It's a recorded version of the show. And if you like the show, you're going to like the filmed version. I did, in my review, knock it down half a star. So I gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars. My reasoning for doing that is at times, if you are familiar with the beats of the live performance and it, particularly the audience response to things, you can tell something is off because it's really a Frankenstein edit of one live performance with an audience and then another live performance without an audience. And you can kind of tell, you know, when it would be an audience shot and when it wouldn't be, because sometimes they're on the stage literally like walking around the actors and the audience wouldn't be okay with paying, you know, however much Hamilton cost in 2016 on Broadway with the original cast to see a show like that. Other times it's a further away shot, or you can tell it's like a camera in the back of the house that's just zoomed in. It'll be a pretty still camera in those moments. And one of the casualties of it is you lose the audience applause or reactions when they're doing it from the show without an audience. And for whatever reason, they didn't want to fake anything, so they didn't want any audience response from the live show when they're showing footage from the not live show. And so there's moments like that that took me personally out of it, but other than that, it's a great production, looks great. And right now it's honestly the only way to even see the show. Like, there's no live performance of Hamilton that you can even access right now. And I think it's really great that Disney bumped it up. You know, keep in mind, this was originally scheduled for summer 2021, and they very kindly decided to forego that and give it to the world through Disney Plus. So, you know, yeah, it does seem a little odd that they took away the free trial of Disney Plus conveniently right before Hamilton comes to the service. But at the same time, it's only $6.99 for the month, you know, and if that's the only thing you're even watching, you paid $6.99 as opposed to hundreds, possibly $1,000 to see Hamilton live. And you will never sit this close in your life.
There was an article, I think, in the New York Times where they talked about sort of the give and take of bringing it to Disney Plus, where initially Bob Iger approached them and said, hey, can we push it up? And they initially said no. But then as the pandemic kind of lengthened, and I think people, you know, we all thought it was, we'd be done by now. They realize that, you know, yeah, that this is a good thing for people to be able to access while they're, you know, stuck at home. So it's really building a lot of buzz. Like, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell if something is popular in the real world as opposed to our little Disney world. But people who have no Disney affinity, I don't know why they're in my sphere of orbit, but those people are like asking me about Disney Plus. They want to use my password, which of course I tell them no. But it seems like this might be a real, you know, at least bring a lot of attention to it. I don't know how many people are going to stay, you know, if they had no interest in Disney Plus by now. But I think a lot of people will get involved.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, to Disney Plus's credit, they have a much more diverse library of content than I think the average person assumes they would just based on the name Disney Plus. I think, you know, obviously there's the Marvel section, there's the Star Wars section, but the National Geographic section has been kind of a gift for me. I'm very familiar with the Disney library. I've seen all the Star Wars films and a lot of the Marvel content, but the National Geographic stuff was really the new to me section, and I found a lot of stuff in it that I love. And then even just random things that you don't necessarily think of as Disney, America's Funniest Home Videos has become our night show. And actually, they just had a 30th anniversary of America's Funniest Home Videos special, which was really cool. Bob Iger was in it. I didn't know that's one of the first things he did when he got to ABC was greenlight America's Funniest Home Videos. And it's kind of funny to think that show at this point is tracking to last longer than his professional career, and how rare that is.
So can I share a little Disney Plus story that I thought was funny? So you remember how Disneyland was supposed to be opening July 17th?
Oh, yes. This is funny.
So So, you know, we get these emails every, like, usually about, I don't know, like the middle of the month saying, you know, here's what's coming to Hulu, here's what's coming to Disney Plus, and here's what's coming to ESPN. Obviously, the ESPN's a little anemic right now, but ESPN Plus. And so we get the email from them, and Alex is going through the content, and he goes, he sees a pre-opening report from Disneyland, and he goes, oh my gosh, like, they're going to do a whole thing about the reopening at Disneyland? And I had to break it to him, like, no, that's like pre-opening from like July of 1955 of Walt, not a pre-reopening report. So Disneyland will not be reopening, but presumably the reopening special, I'm sorry, the opening report of Disneyland will be available on Disney Plus.
It's the pre-opening report.
Yes. And I guess now's as good time to ever to make as now is as good time as ever to make a special announcement. Laughing Place is going to have a special video celebration of Disneyland's 65th anniversary since we can't be there. So we don't have all the details ready to announce quite yet, but keep an eye on laughingplace.com as well as our YouTube channel. And we will be working very hard on creating a very special experience for July 17th. Also, we announced that on Mondays and Thursdays through the summer at 7:30 Pacific time, we are going to be doing a Disney Movie Club where we will be – I'm sorry. We're not going to be doing
– I was going to say that's a thing, and it's a very different thing.
Yeah. We're doing a Laughing Place Movie Club where we will be taking a movie from the Disney bundle, Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN Plus, and just talking about it for maybe, you know, half hour or so. So watch it before you – join us, and then we're going to do a live stream where you can talk about the movie. We have a schedule up on Laughing Place, but that'll be every Monday, most Mondays and Thursdays. We're going to take a little break for Comic-Con, but follow that. It's kind of a companion piece to our Tuesday and Saturday game show of Disney Trivia Live with Doobie and Gideon. So got a lot going on. So make sure you check out our YouTube, subscribe, and ring the little bell button. That'll let you know when we're live. And we've been doing a lot of that lately since we're all stuck at home, but we've gotten great engagement on it. So we're going to keep going even as the world returns to normal. So with that, I want to just kind of go around and see what each of you have to say about, is there something going on in the wonderful world of Disney that you want to talk about?
Well, one of the cool things, I don't know how many of our listeners have a 4K TV. We got one not too long ago, but on Disney Plus, there's a list of movies that are available in 4K, and they recently added some titles to it, and there's some really interesting ones in there that you wouldn't expect them to have in 4K. The oldest film in the list is The Sword in the Stone, and for those of you who are Disney animation buffs, you may recall that they sort of botched the restoration when they released it on Blu-ray. They did this digital noise reduction version that really blurred a lot of the artwork and took away a lot of the quality from it. So you got kind of this smeary looking mess on Blu-ray, and a lot of people were pretty upset about it. So this is actually a new restoration, rescanned in 4,000 lines of resolution, which
and
is
a whole
really,
can of whipped cream.
And a whole can of whipped cream. And I watched it the other day. It looks great. I've never seen Sword in the Stone look that clear and detailed. And I'm really hoping that they will go back and do some of the other older animated classics. It would be great to have Cinderella redone because that's another controversial restoration. But another one that's in there that's a real head scratcher is Black Cauldron. So you can watch The Black Cauldron in 4,000 lines. You can't get Sleeping Beauty, but you can get Black Cauldron. And then Who Framed Roger Rabbit? And kind of the lone film from the 90s live action wise is Hocus Pocus, which they actually just announced is going to be coming out on ultra high definition home video release in late September. And the packaging for that redoes the same Blu-ray artwork that they did last year when they re-brought it out on Blu-ray for its anniversary edition. But Best Buy is doing a special steelbook. And if you're a big Hocus Pocus fan, what's cool about the steelbook is the poses of the Sanderson sisters is like the poses that they're doing on the movie poster, but it looks like live action images of the three actresses. And then they have this cool graveyard scene in the bottom quadrant with the kids at the graveyard gates looking up at the witches. So I'm really excited for that. I already pre-ordered that. That Steelbook is a Best Buy exclusive. But it's just interesting to see, you know, what is on Disney Plus in 4K. Obviously, anything made within the past 5 years is pretty much a given to be on there. And then in terms of animated classics, the ones that are on 4K on Blu-ray, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Lion King and Aladdin, those are in there. But it's interesting to see what's on there outside of that. And I'm going to be kind of paying attention and checking back weekly to see what they randomly add to that section, because while they announce what's new on Disney Plus, they don't announce what's new to 4K on Disney Plus.
Good tip. I would have never known.
Thanks. Yeah.
Kyle?
Well, ABC announced their what they're calling their fall lineup. So we'll see if it's actually in the fall at any point. But I'm a little sad that they're going down to just one night of comedies. I don't know if we talked about this last time. They canceled Bless This Mess and Schooled and Single Parents. I only care about the comedies. So they did cancel Emergence though too.
We did talk about those last time. It's been a little over a month, but that news I think had just broke when we did the last podcast.
Yeah, but they didn't really replace what was canceled with much. And so I'm sad they're going down to one night of comedies, but it sounds like a solid block of comedies.
They did do a switch, which we probably didn't cover, where they replaced one of the new shows with Black-ish. Considering everything going on, they decided Black-ish should be on the fall lineup. And I think they kind of worked around some logistic stuff to make that happen. So
was it going to be like a half a season or come in later?
It was going to come in later. I don't know if it was going to be half a season, but I have speculations, but I don't want to say them publicly as to why it might have been held, but not for political reasons, just from like, you know, logistics. But I think, the whole fall season is going to be completely wonky anyway, because assuming everything happens, right, you're going to have a lot of turmoil just because of the political calendar, in that, you know, you're going to have election night and debates and stuff. You're going to have sports that were delayed have their primetime championships on ABC. You're going to have just sort of it, as things come in, they're going to come up, and you know, it's, they're going to get creative, I'm sure, but it's not going to be a typical premiere week. And then, you know, they run it for a little bit, then out in January they run some midseason stuff, and then back in February you get you know, sort of a secondary lineup. That's just not going to be the way it works this year.
What was weird to me was we had ABC on last night and they were showing Modern Family. And I think it's weird when they air shows that have, I mean, I know that it was canceled because it ended, but it's still weird to me when they.
Yeah, it was always weird to me when they used to deal with like Seinfeld and Friends, and always kind of felt like, you're like I'm, there's something weird about watching a rerun for a show that is no longer on. But
yeah, like it makes sense in syndication, but it's like you made this whole big deal about how this was ending and now you're still airing it.
I miss The Wonderful World of Disney. They kind of gave up on that concept.
Yeah, they did the initial lineup and then they did what, one more? Because I don't think Toy Story 3 was originally announced.
Yeah. It must be like a rights issue. Doing
repeats of it's kind of all over the place. I never know what's going to be on anymore, except that Thursday nights is Holy Moly.
Yeah.
And Don't, and Tell the Truth, which are all fun.
I've been watching shows I normally wouldn't watch, like the game shows. Like, to me, that was never like destination television. Like, if it was on, I'd watch it. But now that there's no other like stuff on my DVR, like, oh, you know, hey, watching Match Game every week and Pressure Luck. And I probably will keep it up even after we get back to normal. They did announce, and we'll probably do another episode before this, but they did announce some of the stuff that's going to be coming to the virtual Comic-Con. So there's stuff from FX, there's stuff from Hulu, stuff from Disney Plus, including Marvel 616, National Geographic's The Right Stuff, and Phineas and Ferb, the movie. So keep checking with us. We're going to have full coverage.
I heard a rumor that's coming out in August.
Yeah, so I heard. So anyway, we got a lot going on at Laughing Place. Even though the parks aren't necessarily all open, we'll have full coverage of that starting next week too. But stick with us. We're going to do a special version of the podcast on July 17th. More to come on that. And we may try and squeeze in another episode, but I don't know. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon.